just sort of introduce myself. Yeah, so as Barbara said, I'm Jim Hester. I'm a software engineer at RStudio, and today I'm going to be talking about the ODBC package. And I'm pretty confident that it will come up once it gets to HDMI, which should be in like 2 or 3 minutes. Yeah. Yes, okay, so the package I'm going to be talking about is called ODBC, and this aims to be a modern database interface to R. Most people in this room are familiar with databases. They're also commonly called RDBMSs for relational database management systems. These are typically queried using SQL or structured query language. Lots of the world's data lives in databases. There's many different types of and flavors of database. And because of this sort of wide proliferation, there's a large number of different SQL dialects and proprietary APIs across databases. So one solution to this is the ODBC, the standard. So this stands for Open Database Connectivity, and it's a defined standard put together by a number of companies in the mid to late 90s. And what the ODBC standard does is define a set of common connection procedures, as well as interface for data insertion and retrieval from databases. So this standard has been widely adopted. There's many drivers now for basically any database that you have, there will be an ODBC driver. And it's also cross-platform, so it works on Unix machines, Mac OS, and Windows. So the DBI package is an R package, and that acronym stands for Database Interface. And this is an R package that has existed for almost as long as CRAN has. And it was actually originally also, and the first many versions are also compatible with S+. So the package has had a number of maintainers throughout the years. Today, it's maintained by Kirill Mueller, who will be talking right after me. So if you're more interested in more details for the DBI package, stay tuned for his talk. So one thing that Kirill has done is write a DBI test package that allows back-end authors, such as myself, a comprehensive testing suite to test for DBI compatibility. So this is really useful because it gives us both a spec to write our code against, as well as a test suite to make sure that what our code is doing is behaving according to the specifications. The other thing that's important about DBI compliance is the newly released version of dplyr 0.7 has a generic DBI backend. So what this means is DBI compatible packages for a lot of function, or a lot of the dplyr verbs actually work out of the box. So the package that I have been primarily developing is called ODBC, and this is an R package that provides an interface between those ODBC drivers and R. And some of the nice things about this package in comparison to previously existing packages such as RODBC is the ODBC package is a DBI compatible package. It was written from the beginning to be to work with DBI and be compatible with that interface. It's a complete rewrite of the code. There's no code shared between the old RODBC package and our new ODBC package. It uses C++11 and RCPP. It has native support for dates, timestamps, raw binary files, and 64-bit integers. So these are all converted automatically for you. The user doesn't have to do a conversion after bringing the data into R. It supports parameterized queries as well, and this also allows you to do batched insertion and retrieval, which is one of the major reasons that the ODBC package is very fast. It's well tested. We test using continuous integration. We test basically every push on SQL Server, Postgres, and MySQL backends, and has pretty good code coverage, about 82%. And I should mention that code coverage is basically coming solely from the DBI test suite. So Kirill really did a good job of of defining a great set of tests. In addition to those, the testing that we do in the package itself, the QA and solutions engineering teams at our studio have also done extensive testing on commercial databases such as Oracle, SQL Server, Impala, and Hive, as well as others. And we're going to continue to do that testing on more commercial databases. It's also faster than for at least fairly large data sets than existing alternatives. So for reading, it's about 3 times as fast as RODBC and about 1.5 times as fast as SQL Server. For writing, it's almost twice as fast for writing tables than RODBC and over 38 times faster than SQL Server. So I think actually there's some like algorithmic issues with the implementation of SQL Server, and that could actually be reduced as well. But it's much faster for a lot of inputs. So I've been talking to people at the conference, and a lot of people have said that using ODBC just has actually been a marked improvement in performance. So I'll be demoing this a little bit later, but as I mentioned, the 0.7 release of dplyr in conjunction with the dbplyr package allows you to use dplyr verbs along with a SQL translator that will translate the dplyr verbs into the equivalent SQL. And this now works as of 0.7 with basically any DBI compatible connection. Because there's, as I mentioned like at the very beginning of my talk, there's this difference between SQL dialects depending on what database you're connecting to. The translations are not like fully general, so often you need to have like a specialization in the dbplyr package for each particular database. And we've done this, so now we have very robust translations for SQL Server, Oracle, Postgres, Hive, and Impala today. And we're going to continue to write more of those translations in the future. So the last thing I'll talk about before demoing is we're going to be bundling a suite of ODBC drivers in our professional products. So starting with our Studio Server Pro, we're going to include an installation script that will download all of these drivers for you. So this makes it very easy for your IT departments to set up ODBC connections for a wide variety of commonly used databases very easily. And these drivers also have improved performance over open source equivalents, as well as improved error messaging Kerberos support. And in the future, we're going to be basically including these drivers in all of our professional products, including our Studio Connect. So now, so how this actually works in practice, and I'll make sure this is big enough for people to actually see. Bobby tables is later, so that's... So this I just want to show some of the newer features that we have to work with ODBC in the IDE. So this is using the daily build of the RStudio IDE. You can see it automatically detects if the ODBC package is installed, and if it is, it has this connections pane where you can actually create a new connection. So here, this is now listing all of the drivers that I have loaded on my machine. And we can now make a new connection to any of these drivers. You can see there's a wide variety of drivers available. So we can just now make a SQL Server connection. And this, I know the Wi-Fi here is bad, so I have SQL Server running on my computer. So I can, it's a very complicated password. And we can actually test. So you can actually test the connection and make sure it's actually working. So that's really nice if you have to, like you have a bunch of parameters that are needed to test, and you don't want to like having to keep running code to test the connection. So this is really nice. But you can also just do a connection in the same way that you would in any R script, and the IDE will actually detect that as well. So here I'm going to be using two packages to establish the connection that I think are really useful, and I think they're good things to know about. So the first is the config package, and what this allows you to do is store your connection information in a configuration file so you don't actually have to have it in every R script. And you can just read this configuration file for each of the R scripts that you want to use. The second package is called Keyring, and what this does is use the operating system's credential store to store sensitive information. And it does that on a cross-OS basis, so it uses different credential stores for different operating systems. So what these configuration files look like is basically it's just a YAML file, and here I have two values, basically, and I'm actually the values are actually coming from the keyring package, which is querying the credential store on the system and then bringing back the sensitive information. So once I establish the connection, then RStudio detects that I have established a new connection and pops up information on the tables available in the system. So here, there's actually three catalogs on the server, and you can see you can drill down into the schemas as well, and here I have two tables. And you can actually open the tables and see what the types of those columns in that table are. The other thing you can do is click on the little icon over here, and it brings up the first 1,000 rows of that table, so you can actually see the data that's on the table without having to write any R at all. If you do want to write, so another thing that the IDE has is support for writing SQL statements just within a block. So you can have a SQL statement here, there's no R code at all. All I'm giving it is, as an option, the connection object. And I can run this, and the IDE converts that to the equivalent R code under the hood, and you get the results of the SQL. So Bobby tables, most of you have probably seen this comic. So basically, this is warning about SQL injection. So what SQL injection is let's say I have two tables that we saw before, the flights table. And did I actually run? Hold on. I think I ran that chunk and I wasn't supposed to. Okay. So we have two tables. And let's say we have two input parameters. One is the altitude, which is defined to a value, and second is a time zone. And here we're going to use a, this time zone's a little formatted, a little weird. So instead of just being like the normal American Denver time zone, we also have an extra little function here. So a drop table air force, and then this is just a comment. So let's now try making a SQL statement. So I'll just look. So we can look at this. We see our statement is in here, but now like we have one statement here that this is our normal SQL statement, and then it runs drop table, and then it just has a comment for the rest of it. So now if we try to run this, we get a query. It looks like things worked, although the results might not be what you expect. And then you try to like read the airports table later, and you say, where did my airports table go? And we list the table, and the airports table is gone. So that's a really big problem if you're accepting input from users, because if you don't sanitize the data in any way, then they can basically do whatever they want. They can execute any SQL query they want on your database. So let's write our table back. We can now use a parameterized query, so that's basically the same as a normal query, but if you have parameters, you specify them with the question mark. So we'll run this, and then we can bind. This is using the same input data as previously. So our time zone is still this weirdly formatted time zone. We can bind the data and then fetch it, and the query comes back. It's not what we actually want. It's not just like taking out the Denver time zone, but it doesn't drop our table. So we still have both of our tables. Now if we actually use just a regular American Denver time zone, run our query, we get the results that we were expecting. So I mentioned that dbplyr now has support for DBI compatible connections, including those with the ODBC package. So how this works is basically you pass our connection object we've been using this whole time to the TBL constructor along with the table name that we want to use, and then we can run R code on that connection object. And you see this is just a head of the connection, and you might think that we're pulling down all of the data and then running the R head function on that, but that's not actually what's going on. If you use the show query function in dplyr, you can see the actual SQL that's being run under the hood. So here we're only selecting the top six rows. So it's actually very, very fast. This actually works for more complicated queries. So here's a filter and a select. You see we get the data that we were expecting, and then if you look at the query that has resulted, both the filter and select statements or select steps have been translated into the SQL equivalents. And this so the collect function is used to actually realize the data into R. So if we have a select and a filter, and then we want to collect all the data after those two steps into R, and then we can use that as just a regular data frame or tuple and pass it to things like ggplot or LM or whatever. So if we run this, it does those select filter steps, and then we get the ggplot of this is all of the airline flights into New York City for that year. And this actually works even for more complicated things. Like in this case, we're actually joining two tables together. So we're doing a left join on the two tables, and then doing a group by, and then summarizing both the counts, the number of rows, as well as the mean and max. And you can see that works. And then we can also see the query. So this is kind of an ugly query, but it actually does all work. And this is a really great way to move the computation from your from within R to the database. I have one more slide. So the last thing I want to say is that we sort of have a vision within R Studio of where we want the R community to be in terms of databases. So we're really pushing these uniform interfaces between DBI and DBplyr. We want to provide both free, we want to continue to support the free drivers that are available, as well as offer professional drivers for our commercial products. I think it's really important to not store your credentials in R scripts, but pass them off using the operating system's credential stores with the keyring and config packages. And we want to continue to improve the IDE support for writing and working with SQL connections. And the db.rstudio.com site is a really great resource for what we think are the best practices in using databases for R. So I really encourage you to check that out. And we're going to continue to add information at that site. And these slides are at this link if people want to look at them later. So thank you.